Let's turn to Zephaniah, and we've got an interesting little snippet from the scripture here that I felt the dove gave for us, for all of us, for me, I know specifically, so I'm going to receive it. Zephaniah, and we're just going to land on a few verses throughout this short prophecy that kind of speak this one chord, this one note, if you will, that it could ring and sing and speak into our spirits. So Lord, we're not looking, Father, over the vast landscape of the entire prophecy. Father, we're not even looking to comprehend things in our own understanding, but rather we're searching the scriptures for you, Jesus. We are searching for your image. We are going into the mountains of words and the multitude of pages and ink, and we're pressing past all of it for the heart of Jesus. And we know we can't even take one step up that mountain and into that water. We can't dive into that ocean or step up to that mountain without the Holy Spirit. He's our guide. He's going to take us to Jesus. And so we just clear the clutter around us and within us, and we just say, take me to Isaac, Holy Spirit. Lead me to Jesus, Holy Spirit. Land upon the Lamb. Descend and remain upon him in these scriptures. Baptize me into that Spirit. And let me be made one, coming forth in his image, where it is no longer me, but the Lamb in his true beauty. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Zephaniah, let's start in chapter 1. Now, the theme of this little prophecy is the day of the Lord. And I'll tell you, this guy's got a lot of bang for his buck, because he prophesies universal judgment more than any other prophet. And there's some guys who've got 66 chapters of prophecy going on. So he packs a lot in this little book, and it reaches beyond even the neighboring nations, but all nations. And it speaks of the cross and the devastation to all flesh that the cross brings. And it comes to Zephaniah, who is actually the great-great-grandson of King Hezekiah, and probably up here prophesying a little bit before Josiah's big revival efforts around 621 BC. And so you've got a little bit of context. This is going to be predating the Babylonian captivity. So he, by the Spirit, knows that a time is coming of deep, manifest dealing in the earth through the hands of the Chaldeans, through Babylon, through Nebuchadnezzar. And yet it has not come yet. But he's prophesying, he's speaking things to prepare people, specifically their hearts, for specifically the deep judgment and inworking of the cross. That's not just going to be dealing with all flesh, but we know bringing forth a place in Zion for the Lamb, for God to dwell in the midst of them, and to be a place of worship where he can offer himself through them. Well, that's all in this beautiful little prophecy, but what we're going to focus on today is not all those details, but simply one aspect of this prophecy that I find really interesting in regards to all of this judgment of the flesh. Pretty, pretty scathing throughout the entire, particularly first two chapters, but most of the prophecy, and yet consistently mingled within those judgments of the great and terrible day of the Lord and the cross being applied, is this thought about seeking the Lord in the midst of that time, that great and terrible day of the Lord, that time of judgment and of the cross and of dealing. He really emphasizes seeking the day of the Lord. So I'm just going to point to a few of the verses, but let's just look very briefly at chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, just to give us a sense of the book and how radical it is in the sense of the judgment I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fish of the seas, going to the heights and the depths, the stumbling blocks with the wicked. I will cut off man from the land. And so, you know, that's just two verses, but it is a really intense declaration of the all-consuming devastation of the cross to all flesh. Now, if you go down a bit to verse 6, here we have this first mention. And those who are turned back from the Lord, and those who have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. So he's talking about him stretching forth his hand and dealing with these people who worship false gods and swear by Moloch and just really these heavy crimes. And then he goes, and those, in verse 6, and those who are turned back from the Lord, and more specifically, those who have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of him. And if you go to verse 12, still in chapter 1, here again we see that theme. And it shall come to pass at that time, that I will search Jerusalem with lamps. Now he's not talking about Edom or Philistia or Moab or Assyria, any of the uncircumcised, the heathen nations that surrounded them. But he's saying, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men in Jerusalem that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. So there's a searching that God is doing in the very heart of his people. And he's searching them on the basis of finding those who are settled on their lees and say in their heart, the Lord will do not good nor evil. And that's pretty much, it's just a passive state. It's just a state of not seeking the Lord, not believing that the Lord's really doing anything, not attuned at all to the reality that the Spirit's moving, the cross is being applied, the day of the Lord is upon us, the Spirit of God is rotting in the earth, the reality of the heavens, that the crucified Son of the living God has dealt with all flesh, and the living God is bringing that to bear in all of the earth. That judgment that Calvary brought to all flesh is being, you know, enforced in the earth. And the Lord said, and there are people in Jerusalem who are not seeking me nor inquiring of me, who don't even believe in their hearts that God's going to move at all, that he's not doing good or evil. And the Lord's like a lamp looking into the hearts, not for sin, but for a condition of passivity, a condition of just being so out of tune, so unaware of what he's doing and what's in his heart, that he lifts that up above tremendous things that he could be lifting up in the lieu of what the cross dealt with. Let's go now to chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 3. Seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, who have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that you shall be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. So here again we have the word seek used three times, at least three times. Seek the Lord, seek righteousness, seek meekness, that ye may be hidden. The word seek comes again and again in such a small prophecy. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek meekness. Be hidden. Find that hiding place where you are. Oh, you know, who knows exactly what that means, but the Spirit of God himself, to whom we all have access, and he's in us. But there's just something there where his heart is saying, seek me. Seek me. Seek me, the meek ones. The meek ones who are seeking the Lamb in the midst of all the crisis and all the judgment and all the upheaval and all the fear and terror of what's coming with the Babylonians. You know, already the dark clouds gathering on the horizon, that the storm of captivity and what all that's going to come. And when Jerusalem is under siege by Babylon, they feel the storm coming and the fear that that can bring and apprehension. But he's saying, don't seek answers to crisis. Seek the Lord. Don't seek the high things, the heady things, the things that bolster man in his strength and his ego. Seek meekness. Seek the Lamb. Seek to be low. Seek to be so low that you'll be hidden in his scars and his wounds when the storm comes. That you'll be so with the Lamb that you won't have to be with the judgment that's going to annihilate every high thing that's still standing in pride, every thought that's still independently pushing forward to be the head instead of be under the head, that he might be the head of his body. You know, the storm's going to take down all those high things that have not been dealt with by the cross and come into conformity to the Lamb. The cross is going to mow those down like a whirlwind. It's going to be like an overnight tornado. Nothing left standing that was flesh and separate from the Lamb in nature. So he says, hey, before this storm comes, before this whole judgment hits planet Earth and the reality of what happened on Calvary is enforced by the Spirit of the living God in real time, seek meekness. Seek lowliness. Seek not just to be fake humble and false lamb and weird in our own flesh pretending to be like Jesus. No, seek the nature of Jesus to be formed in you. Seek to let this mind be in you. Seek the Lamb so that all those high places that rise like Levin and lift up their head like Haman and want to press their way like Vashti and want to plow through things like Saul, and they're dealt with before the storm comes. And you're hidden not just to let your flesh survive a really bad tornado, but you're hidden in a spirit of meekness that has already been dealt with by the death blow of the cross. And you're in union with Christ. And you're hidden by his Spirit being in you. Whereas you're not rising, but you're down there with him. The storm will pass over. The storm will pass over. The Lamb. Seek meekness. It may be that ye shall be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And then we continue on, and we're going to go now to chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. It's verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. So here again, he's bringing to bear this seeking heart, this heart that draws nigh, this heart that in the midst of all that is happening and will be happening in the time of this prophecy and for those who read it in the times we are in now, that he's saying, seek to receive correction. Seek to not trust in the arm of the flesh. Draw nigh to God. But woe to her that obeyed not the voice, that did not receive the correction, that did not trust in the Lord, that, and here it is, did not draw near to her God. Wow, can you imagine having this scroll or getting this letter from someone, this scribbled letter copied by some saint, the guy on a camel, you know, bring it through the dust storm, getting it to you before the Babylonians come, saying, this is what God is telling us. We all know crazy things are about to happen and are already happening, but this is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, seek him. Seek meekness. Draw nigh. seek the Lord. That this is how He wants us to respond in the season we're in. Amazing. What wisdom, what Lamb wisdom God brings to us. We continue on in chapter 3, and let's just look at verse 16. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. And there again, he's saying to the heart of his wife, I mean the place of his dwelling, the place where his heart dwelleth, where his spirit is, where he is. He's saying, don't let your hands be slack. Seek me. Know me. Bring mine offering. It says that in verse 10 of the same chapter, chapter 3. Bring the lamb. Be involved. Know my heart. Have my mind. Draw near to me. Seek me. Be with me. And you feel that theme throughout all these verses of judgment. That sprinkled through all of it is his little, sweet, beautiful God heart cries saying, yeah, there's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of dealing. There's a lot of correction. There's a lot going on and a lot happening outside just the dealing, the correction, and the word in the earth. But here's my heart. Seek me. Seek the Lamb. Find me. Don't let your hands be slack when you find me. Let me live through you. This is our time. This is our time to let judgment begin in the house of God, and let the house of God bring forth the nature of the Lamb, and let the Lamb be made manifest in the earth. Let the Spirit do His work. Seek that which is in God's heart for us to seek, and be not distracted from His deepest and most heartfelt purposes for us, both back then and now. So Lord, we come to You. We just say we want to seek You. We want to seek meekness. We want to seek the Lamb. We want to be hid, not because we're hiding flesh and covering things that You crucified, but that we're hidden by being one with a nature that doesn't vaunt itself and rise up where the cross has to come and knock it down, but that we have You, Your image formed in us. Lord, we want to obey correction and receive correction and not trust in our flesh and heed Your word. And oh Lord, we want the season to do all that's in Your heart for it to do. To take teaching and bring forth lambs. To take the flesh that's always been sneaky and survived and judge it. And let another spirit come forth, Lord. And that we wouldn't rest on our lees in Jerusalem and sleep through it and not even think You're doing anything in our deepest heart. Where we could be bowed before You and tuned in like never before. Let us receive. Let us attune ourselves. Let us wake ourselves and shake ourselves. Let the Spirit of God do what's in His heart these days. Let us pray for one another, and let nothing keep us back from You, Jesus. Nothing. Nothing keep us from getting every second, every heartbeat, every breath from Your mouth, from Your spirit, from Your heart and in Your eyes. We need You, Lord. We need You in these days more than ever. Because we sense You're doing a deep work in all of us, and we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss it. So have Your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.